This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
There really isn't much to say about him. Well, there was a quote from him that sums up a disregard for caring for others. And of course, there's that important fact. He was the first murderer. His life or banishment by God, the facts of Cain's life, stirred up one of the most controversial questions people just can't seem to get over. I mean, they just keep wrestling with this question, where did Cain's wife come from? Despite the obvious answer, despite theistic evolution's debate that Cain's life as a point of proof that there was this massive break in the scriptures or a redo of creation in there somewhere, kind of slipped in there just because of his life. His wife. But there was no redo. You know that. I mean, the answers are there and they're simple. There was a process. There's always a process that happens that gets us to where we are, that shows us where we have been in the course of time. You know, Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 15 shows that. So just listen, but listen carefully for a moment. As we listen, talk about Cain, please listen to the process. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought her the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. But Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Now those verses kind of sum up Cain's life, except for the details that follow of his wicked children until they are drowned in the flood. And the bloodline of Cain ends. His wife, his children, the mystery, all washed away by God and the process of the flood. But let's get back to Cain. You know, there are a few things that I think have been overlooked or maybe dismissed because we focus on that murder. Maybe we focus on his wife, but we're not focusing on the process that God talks about. Did you hear? God never abandoned Adam and Eve in this process. Even though they sinned, they disappointed God, they lied, they blamed God. Read all about that in the previous chapter, chapter 3 of Genesis. It's embarrassing. And because of their sin, God outlines clearly the consequences. Man would be cursed to work the ground and work hard. And he would die, verse 17 through 19. And after that declaration, God drove them out of the garden and he put up a guard so they would never return. But that wasn't the end of the process of time. Because we learn in this account of Adam and Eve's children through this account of Cain, we learn that God never gave up on them, ever. Cain and Abel knew how to sacrifice to God. They learned how to do that, exactly what to do. They learned that from God. God taught them. God didn't abandon this family. God loved them through the process of learning how and what to do. We hear that in the tender encouragement God gives Cain in verse 6 and 7. When Cain is upset, God didn't accept his offering. We heard it. God asked Cain why he was disappointed. God told him, if you would just do well, everything would be fine. But then God warns Cain to be careful, that if he does not do well, the sin is waiting for him. Yeah, God cared for Cain. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And Cain loved God. Maybe more than we like or than we talk about or that, you know, we think about. But you heard it. You know it. The reason Cain murdered his brother was because he was jealous. Jealousy is a kind of envy, you know. Cain couldn't face the mistake, couldn't take responsibility. If Cain gets Abel out of the picture, maybe he thought God would accept whatever he would give him, as if it were, you know, a competition. He wanted God to accept him. Cain said punishment, his punishment was too much for him to bear. Your face will be hidden from me. Verse 13. You see, Cain only knew life with God. God talked to him, taught him, and God loved him through that process of time. But the really difficult thing to wrap, you know, my heart around is that Cain assumed that God would accept his sacrifice, even though God obviously taught them that animal sacrifice was the only respectable act of worship to him. You know, I don't know, maybe Cain thought God loved him so much that God would accept it anyway. But God could not. You know, that's part of it. God could not. And that may be hard to accept, you know. Maybe even in our thought processes, we may say, well, you know, that really isn't fair. I mean, Cain was obviously a farmer. God told his dad that they would have to learn how to farm. And Cain did that. I mean, this was obviously Cain's God-given talent. God should accept his talent. What's wrong with that? That's the process that we might go through. We might, right? And then there's, you know, the embarrassment. Cain would have to go to his brother, verse 2 and verse 4, and ask for an animal to sacrifice. Would that have been humiliating? Asking, I mean, it sounds like maybe it would. I don't know that the relationship maybe between the brothers wasn't the best, although we know they talked after the sacrifice was rejected. We don't know what was said, but it sounds like it did not end well for Cain, because Cain killed Abel. Maybe Abel pointed out the obvious that he didn't give the right sacrifice. Maybe there was a sibling rivalry. I don't know. But Cain would have had to have asked for that animal. And for us in our processes, sometimes that's just hard. But God still had a process. And verse 3 says that they knew that process after the course of time. They knew. And still God allowed Cain to redeem himself. Remember God's questions, asking Cain what he did, where was his brother? It was an opportunity for Cain to repent, to confess what he had done. You know, it sounds a lot like God confronting his father, Adam, in the garden, doesn't it? And do you ever wonder if Adam and Eve told their children about the garden, about the beauty, about their sin? But God offered Cain the opportunity to say he was sorry. God offered Cain the opportunity to admit he was wrong, just like he did his father in chapter 3, verse 11, when God offered the same opportunity through the same processes with Adam. God's always allowed a process for forgiveness. The opportunity to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and Cain never did. Forgiveness has always been a part of God's processes because he loves. But you know, at the end of the account, Cain didn't. So Cain had to leave. And he was hidden from the face of God. And his children were miserable human beings. the result of Cain's view of life's processes. Thus, the tragic reality was more than just a murder of one life. And I think most of us can relate to the situation where we find ourselves in a place and a time and wonder, how did we get here? How did this happen? But often when we ask those questions, we're, you know, in a situation or at a place where we never would have dreamed that we would be, never intended to get there. But here we are, asking those questions and wondering. But you know, the answer is right there. It's still pretty simple. We got here one step at a time, one decision at a time, usually not quickly, but over the course of time and in the process of that, here we are, wherever that is. It was never by accident. Even though it may seem that way, it wasn't an accident. It was a process. Now, everything is a process, has a course of time, a beginning and an end. Even before Cain's father, God made a process. He told us what it is. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Sadly, because he knew who we are, and he knows our processes. And he loved us through his process of sacrificing his son so that we could never have to bear the unbearable, to be hidden from his face after the course of time. And it's for this that we follow that process. It is for this that I bow my knees today.
We thank you for joining us today. We hope you have enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bibleway Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.